Okay, next week I'll have a Prophet Yahweh update for you. You know, he's the person who says he can summon UFOs at will. And he claimed that between June 1st and July 15th, he would do that. And I will get you an update. As a matter of fact, I do have a producer who may be meeting with the prophet in Las Vegas this weekend. So I'll have some more information on that. And I'm making a prediction based on these unbelievable animal disappearances that are showing up at shelters in Rockford, Illinois, that along the New Madrid Fault, I'm going to say that there's going to be a significant earthquake soon. That's my prediction. I just wanted to go on record. I've never really been able to do that. I am doing that. And last night, Sean David Morton was our guest, and he was talking about his stock picks, things he could see in the future. He had one out there called Nutricia that was selling at 61 cents a share yesterday. I ought to kick myself. Today, it jumped 89%. In one day, 54 cents it jumped up, plus 89% increase. Well, Sean, you got that right so far. Maybe it'll go higher. I don't know. Back in a moment. And back to the phones we go, and we'll go to our wild card line first of all to get things started. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. This is UFO Phil.
UFO Phil, who delivered a great song to us.
Yes. Thank you for playing that song.
Thank you for developing. Did you conceive the whole thing?
Yes, I did.
Good job. And every once in a while, I will play that song.
Oh, I appreciate that. That was a gift to you for just all the wonderful things that you do for everybody on
Thank
coast
you,
to coast.
Phil. Appreciate.
I wanted to call you. I've actually been meaning to call you for a couple weeks, and I was, let's just say, I was delayed. I couldn't get to a phone.
That's because you're up on some mountaintop, aren't
no,
you?
No, that's not where I was this time.
What happened, Phil?
Can you keep a secret?
Yeah.
Let's just say that there were some individuals that took me against my will.
Oh, not after the appearance on Coast to Coast.
Well, I don't know. It did seem to correspond somewhat
Phil.
to that. But I didn't actually talk with them. I don't even know if they can talk. So I can't confirm that that's the reason.
Are these humans or aliens?
I'm pretty sure they're aliens, George. The whole experience was fuzzy. Let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
If I can.
Yeah, please.
I went to bed Friday night into Saturday morning on the 1st. I listened to Coast to Coast, and it was a wonderful show. You had a really great guest host. Went to sleep, and then the next thing I know, there's these bright lights waking me up, and I'm looking straight up, and there's just bright lights and sort of a circular array above me, and I can hear sort of high-pitched voices all around me in sort of like imagine in surround sound
yeah.
or Dolby or THX. That's what it was like.
Why?
Only in a bad way, because normally when you're hearing Dolby, you're in a movie and you're enjoying yourself, but this was not fun.
No, eating popcorn, having a good time.
Right, and I wasn't. I couldn't even use my hand, so even if there was popcorn in front of me, which there wasn't, I would not be able to eat it.
All right.
I don't know if I was strapped down or glued or if I was just drugged, but I couldn't move.
Did you have any idea where you might have been?
Well, I had an idea, but I can't prove it.
Were you in a saucer? A ship?
No, I think so. The gravity felt funny. The gravity felt really strange.
So you think maybe they even left this planet?
No, I can't tell because, you know, nowadays they develop these things. They can fly so smoothly that it's hard to tell if you're sitting still or if you're flying crazy.
Unless you're
fast.
Looking out a window or something, you don't know where you are.
Yeah, no windows. And what I did see, in fact, I wanted to ask you about this. I wanted to ask you if there's any significance to these numbers, because it was really blurry and fuzzy, but I was able to make out several digital readouts flashing numbers. Like we would, not alien strange numbers, just like human numbers.
Well, what were they?
Can you keep a secret?
Yeah.
610, 610, and I don't know if it was a time, if it was a date. I really don't know what it was.
Isn't that the number that some people say might be the real mark of the beast?
I didn't hear that.
It might be. It's some people say 666. Obviously, that's what we've all been grown to understand. But some people say no. It's really, I think 610. You might be.
But I didn't even know that.
No,
I didn't even know that.
No, not a lot of people do, Phil. I'm one of the few.
Well, and then it was fuzzy, and then it blacked out again. And next thing I know, I wake up, and this is the really strange part. I looked over at my alarm clock when I woke out.
Back in your house then, right?
Back in my house. I wake up, everything's normal, but except the time says 6:10.
Now that's strange.
And this is the crazy.
And you're okay otherwise?
I'm fine, but this is the strange part. I know you have to go. I'm sorry. Just one more thing. It was when I went on the trip. It was Friday night, Saturday morning, and then next thing I know, when I'm back, it was 4th of July.
You were gone for 3 days?
You do the math, George.
And I do it well, Phil. All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, George.
UFO Phil, who put together a great little song for us that will run every once in a while here on Coast to Coast. West of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Hello there.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm south of Carmel along the California coast.
Do you see Clint Eastwood up that way?
I have seen him one time.
He lives there, doesn't he? In Carmel?
Yeah, he has a place in Carmel or around there.
Wasn't he the mayor once?
Once upon a time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, this is about John Titor.
Okay.
I was a follower of this phenomena, and sometime I just developed a little bit of a doubt, which hadn't existed. I'd been a real, confirmed believer in it.
Right. Were you following it as it was going on back in 2000?
No, I caught it on later.
Okay.
And somehow, once the doubt entered me, I thought, well, who could create, if somebody was just making this up, who could create it? And at that time, the name Fred Bell came into my head. And you had Fred Bell.
We've had Fred on the show several times.
And did you talk to him about time travel?
Yes.
So
but not about Titor.
Yeah, well, I didn't catch that where you talked to him about the time travel, but Fred has developed time travel equipment and has been working on this for several decades, in fact. And I just wondered if you had talked to him, if he, I couldn't tell you, my personal opinion of Fred or what he really is up to, but he claimed to be associated with Wernher von Braun. And
mm-hmm.
So he had some of the credentials that could put him in a place
He's in the know. There's no doubt about that.
But anyway, I think it'd be interesting to talk to him and ask him about John T.
Good follow. It's time to have him back, too.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate your call. Next up, Wildcard Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes. Am I on?
Yes, sir. You sure are.
Well, I thought it was going to take an act of Congress to finally get through. But appreciate you having me on, Mr. Norris.
Sure thing. Where might you be, by the way?
I am in North Carolina.
Okay.
I'm up with the rest of the Hoot Owls at night. I very seldom soar with the Eagles in the morning.
Well, you know what? I've become, over the years, a night owl myself, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, I've been like that. I guess it's genetically based. My four kids are the same way. It's just, it's just one of those things.
Future Coast to Coast listeners, huh?
Yeah. I first met you, first saw you on the internet, and then our local station finally picked you up. But I've had possible abduction experiences, and I'm a skeptic. I'm a preacher. I've had a lot of different things happen to me, and I've had to travel a lot at night. I've crisscrossed the country. I've traveled quite a bit. I've had to stay up working in different things. And I had not been exposed to abduction experiences, educating myself or researching it. I've been open-minded to UFOs and that whole experience.
Of course.
I think they're in the Bible. They call them angels. I think it's the bad angels. But when I had a night job, well, my job entailed a lot of times I traveled at night, and it would the classic. I'm driving along, and just as quick as blinking your eyes, all of a sudden I'm somewhere where I don't know where I'm at.
And you don't know how you got there.
And time has gone by, hours have gone by. And it got to the point of where I had to carry maps around with me because I was new to North Carolina. And I had to carry maps around just to find out where I was. And I would tell my wife, and this happened to me, you know, practically a dozen times. And it concerned me to the point of, you know, I may be blacking out or something, you know, physically wrong with me because I, you know, I wasn't tired. You know, it's nothing like that. And so I went to the doctor. And I told him my experiences, and he was asking me these things and checking my records. And then I laughingly and jokingly told him in front of the nurse there, I said, wouldn't it be something if I've been abducted by aliens? And he kind of looked at his nurse, and his nurse looked at him, and they had a concern on their face. And I kind of laughingly said, well, what, do you think I'm crazy or something? I'll, you know. And they says, well, you would not believe the amount of people that come in here with your same story saying that. And
that's
I've not,
strange.
You know, I've not had any light experiences or anything like that.
Right.
It's just a blackout. You know, it's just a blackout. But having had that happen and the doctor say that, I went on the internet and you know, there's physical symptoms, there are emotional symptoms and things like that, and I've got them all. And it's amazing. I'm just another one of those fellas that it's possibly happened and I've not seen lights. But to answer, you were saying earlier, do UFO feel? The number is 616.
Six, so, not 610?
No, not 610.
I came close. You, no, you may be right. Yeah, it is 616.
It is 616. And another question you probably know with your, they're so sharp, I know you got to part your hair just right and cover it up. But one of those comb-overs. Right? But in my research about this to find out what had happened to me, I came across a few years back a site that a fella had put up on the internet, and he had evidently been abducted and taught by the alien beings how the UFO worked, how it flied. The
propulsion, you know, system, all that.
Everything, and he had diagrams and layman explanations. Do you know who that was or what website that is? I have not been able to find it again.
I do not.
But it was in layman explanations. He had diagrams, and I've had chemistry, biological, scientific background before I was in the ministry, and I thought that's what I was going to go into, and so, you know, I ate it up like a sponge.
Well, I tell you what, if somebody knows it or remembers it, they'll post it for me, and I'll have the answer for you.
Okay, but it was, you know, he was abducted. He wasn't under. He wasn't hazed. They basically educated him, you know, as kind of a spokesman for them and said, here it is, and he had a model and diagrams, and, you know.
Are you not talking about Riley Martin, are you?
I don't know.
He basically has a friend who's a alien, and they take him aboard a ship every once in a while, he claims.
And one other thing, because I know it's a nationwide audience, we could get off our dependence on oil within a month.
How? I wish we could.
In Wyoming, when I was out there, a man during first Bush's presidency came up when they were over there in you can switch every vehicle in North America to propane. The kits are on the shelves. It takes 2 hours to install it. You don't have to do any major changing to your vehicles. And he proposed that to Congress, but of course, you know, with the everybody's fingers in the oil pie, they're not going to do it.
Then where are we going to get all the propane?
They burn propane off to get to the gas and coal.
Yeah, but we still have to use that then, though. That's what I'm saying.
But you have a supply, near unlimited supply of that stuff here in America.
Yeah, well, maybe that's true.
And in Wyoming, the gas, you know, it doesn't have to, you know, it was so bad when you turned on your faucet, you could burn the water coming out.
We've got to go to hydrogen.
True.
That's the way. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks, appreciate you.
Appreciate you. First-time caller line, your turn. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
How's it going, George?
Good.
This is James in Chico, California.
James, what's new?
Well, I was talking about the sheep in Turkey.
Oh, my God, 1,500 of them. Now, 450 died. The other ones landed on top of the dead ones, and they were cushioned. But they all went over the cliff.
I was noticing. I went on to Google Earth to look at the geography because I'm not so great at geography. But I noticed it's in eastern Turkey, and it's right above northern Iraq.
Right.
I was, you know, with the HAARP program you just had last week, it's pretty interesting to think that maybe they're using the ionosphere to create ELF frequencies.
Well, you know what? Something's wrong with them. Their equilibrium is off. Something was wrong. I've never seen a story like this where one would go and then the next would go. Then they all went.
I read a story a while back about there was a demonstration going on in Iraq, and they used the ELF to make the people flee from the scene.
Yes, that was a test, and also they've done that in Israel as well.
I was thinking maybe this is a bigger test, you know, see if maybe they can use HARP to actually get the...
Interesting you bring that up. It might be.
All right, well, thank you, George. That's pretty much all I had to say.
Yeah, that was a story I had a few hours ago. If you missed it, in Turkey, 1,500 sheep, one at a time, walked off a cliff. One went, then another. These poor shepherds didn't know what was going on. That's their whole livelihood. And 450 of them were down dead. And then the other 1,000 that fell, they were kind of cushioned by the blow. That's just an incredible story. Next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. It's Peter.
Hi, Peter.
From Dearborn Heights.
Hey, what's up?
Not much, but I sent you a couple of emails last year about the Divine Judgment.
Yes.
And I thought that was going to hit in the summer.
It did not.
It did not. But I feel that, you know, Oral Roberts, the evangelist,
mm-hmm.
he said that this is the year of the overflowing.
Well, what do you think?
Well, the overflowing to me means a lot different from him. He thinks it's the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. I feel that it's the Divine Judgment maybe could hit this year. It could hit next year, too. I don't know when Ariel Sharon actually took office. The subject I want to talk about here is, you know, John Titor, the wave, you know, he mentioned one time, and one of the guy that has it on the website mentioned the fact that the wave was going to come from the east, and in Phoenix, Arizona, it would be 1,000 feet high coming towards Phoenix. Did that guy mention that today?
He did not.
Yeah, no, that was deep, because that means that, see, the New York, United States is a continental shelf, like a beach going towards Florida. If that Armageddon hits in the Puerto Rican Reef, that's 5 mile deep water, the wave would come up, wipe up Florida, go past Texas all the way to Phoenix and be 1,000 feet high when it hits Phoenix.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
That is. It's scary.
So that
sounds like an Edgar Cayce prediction.
Right. The shorelines would be changed completely. And so, you know, the seven shepherds, which become eight in chapter 17 of Revelations, that's, you know, G8, and they just met. And if you understand that in Zechariah, we're told that three of those shepherds are cut off in 1 month. In other words, and that one might be England, Italy, and the other one would be Japan, because that's an island, and England's an island. And all the islands are fled away, it says in the Bible.
So you think all this could happen soon?
Well, let's put it this way. The one other guy that called you up and mentioned the fact that Jesus was born, 5 years before Christ, so that would knock off 5 or 6 years off the 212 number, which puts us right back at 205, which we're in this year.
Could be. All right. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks. Hey, George?
Yeah.
Did you still got my emails?
No, I don't keep them that long.
Oh, that's too bad, because I can't send them to you again. And I tell you one thing, it's you have to reread them to really get, I forget everything that's in them.
All right.
And I haven't got the capability to send them to you again.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks a lot, George.
All right, Peter. Appreciate it. Yep. By the way, the other caller was calling about some UFO information. Someone says, George, all I have to do is Google search UFO sports model. UFO sports model, and he'll find the site that he's looking for. So there you go. You can have that. Now, when I come right back, this has been a fast night. We've still got open lines, and then at the end of the hour, which is not too far away, Dr. Morgus is going to talk about the haunted right here on Coast to Coast AM. To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing? I'm Dave in Huntington Beach, California.
Hi,
on
Dave.
KFI.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, I've got a tale of synchronicity for you that I know you're going to like. I hope you like.
Sure thing.
You're not going to like this first part, though. In the late 80s, I used to work as a mime at SeaWorld of San Diego.
Okay.
And I did shows, you know, improvisational miming. I did the seal and otter show. And my job was to warm up the audience for about 15 minutes before they actually brought out the animals and did the show, right?
I thought you were going to warm up the seals for a moment.
yeah, I never did. I never got close to them. They scared me. You know, anyway, Where this story goes, though, is that one day I had been there for about 2 or 3 months and was still sort of learning the ropes. And I had a bad day one day, very slow. And it was just, a Wednesday morning and the weather wasn't that great. And I had about 12 people show up. And a part of what I did, I didn't do set stage bits. You know, we did, we improvised with them, right, with the crowd. And it's hard to do that with 12 people. So my show producer, a guy named Michael, he had also been a mime and he on occasion filled in on the shows. A very, very talented guy, a former Ringling Brothers clown. And one day that I had this bad show, I was lamenting that there were only 12 people. Well, Michael tells me this inspiring story that he says, I had three people once not too long ago. There were three teenagers, two guys and a girl. And he said it was a rainy, not real rainy, but drizzly Monday morning, you know, and it was off season. And they came and they sat way in the back of the stadium. And Michael said he looked out from behind the scenes just before he was due to go out there and start his pre-show. And the music was playing and all this. And he could have just aborted it, said, I'm not going to do this. It'd be too difficult. But he decided just to go ahead and go through with it. So he goes out there and he starts performing and he made his way up to them and he stood right in front of them and he did these bits, you know, that were just coming at to him out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they seemed to enjoy it. They were laughing and clapping and enjoyed it. Now, the thing is that later, and Michael told me this, this is about 1988, Michael's telling me this. He says these teenagers came up to him later in the park. They found him and they said, Mr. Mime, we just want to thank you for doing that because we know you probably didn't have to and we really enjoyed it. So the whole point of the story is Michael's inspiring me with this, right? Saying quit complaining about, you know, small audiences. Okay. So fast forward to about 8-9 years later, I'm living in Ashland, Oregon, and I'm not performing anymore, but I'm doing theatrical sound design. And I work with a young man who just got out of college. He's a lighting designer, and he and I get hired on a lot of the shows together. So we're getting to know each other. We've become friends. And when he found out I worked as a mime at SeaWorld, he said, oh, I've been there. And he was telling me about the one time he went, he said, yeah, he said it was pretty cool, but it was kind of off season. The weather wasn't that great. So I went with my friend and his girlfriend and we sat way in the back of the stadium. And sure enough, he's one of these three.
I love it.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing is that, you know, he's telling me this and my eyes are getting really big. Like, I don't believe I'm hearing this. Right. And when we were talking, we were trying to figure out if he had seen me perform, you know. And I told him I had, when I wore the white face, I had a little, like, pencil-thin mustache.
Sure.
You know? And he said, no, the mime I saw didn't have a mustache. He was kind of tall and thin, you know, and he's basically describing Michael. So I said, yeah, that's Michael. You know, he's my old boss. He was a show producer, you know. And so then I said, I bet he came all the way up to you guys, and he's making like he's doing this mountain climbing bit and all this, you know. And my friend says, yeah, how'd you know that? And I said, well, just go on, you know. And so he's telling me about how Michael performed for him. And then I interrupted him and I said, I'll bet you later you guys came up to him and thanked him. And by this time, this guy's looking at me like I'm from Mars.
Yeah,
how did
yeah.
you know that? And I laid it on him. I said, you're not going to believe this, but in 1987, Michael told me the story of you three being there. You know,
that
and how
is so cool.
That was the smallest audience he ever performed for. So
I love it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Hey, by the way, one of my rocket scientist producers wanted you to perform a mime on the show.
Okay, hang on a second, all right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
There it is. I love it. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, dead air and radio. That's death. Huh?
We were picturing what you were doing. Thanks.
Hey, George, I told your producer real quick here. I did tell your producers I've worked a few years in radio, and I actually produced a radio show for a little while that was a there's sort of a gospel thing, but the young man, he's become a very good friend of mine. He's my best friend. To this day, but he did ventriloquism on the radio. He had a puppet, you know.
Yeah.
And he actually brought the puppet in the studio and sat there with it on his knee and did the ventriloquism bit, you know. And he did the two voices, but you know, nobody could see the puppet
or his lips move.
Well, his lips wouldn't move, and I'm sitting there, you know, at the board in the production studio, and I'm thinking, you're genius, you're great, you're brilliant, but nobody can see this. Why do you do this? Well, and you say, well, it just helps my act.
I got to tell you, I think you may have been the first person to do a national mime radio show.
Oh, that's good. Me and Marcel Marceau, actually, he did a film work. Yeah, that's another story.
Think of it for radio. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, you're appreciate welcome.
It. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Dallas. This is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi. I just wanted to say that Ed Dames has, of course, been telling us that the precursor to the kill shot would be a shuttle launch that was canceled due to a meteor shower.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's a shuttle launch, first time in a couple of years, happening next week.
Coming up.
Just kind of wondering if this is it, but I just also wanted to announce that anyone born in Detroit on June 4th, 1950, at 10:33 a.m., we'll have a pretty smooth sailing and gratifying life.
That's me.
Well, George, I've been really busy, but I have been working on your chart and wanted to let you know that, you know, I haven't gotten back to you, but I have looked at it a bit, and it looks like a pretty nice birth chart to me.
I hope so.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, Tanya, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Next up, our other wild line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Charles. I'm calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Hi, Charles.
I have a story for you. I was listening about John Teeter earlier, and I had read on one of his predictions. He was talking about Z-field compression when he was talking about time travel.
Yes.
Well, I used to work at Kirtland Air Force Base. I mainly worked at Coomsack, but every once in a while I would work on the gate. And a lady came through one time at Eubank Gate, which is where all the Sandia National Lab employees came through, and she told me, she showed me an EAL showing that she was supposed to go see a demonstration of Z-field compression. And I'd heard about it from Art Bell earlier that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I played dumb, and I asked her what it was, and she named some mumbo-jumbo that I really couldn't understand, but she asked me, have you never heard of it? And I said, well, I heard of something like that, but I heard it was a time machine. And she said, yeah. And she had two suits in the car with her that were hushing her up. I just thought you'd like to hear that.
That's a fascinating story.
I thought it was very interesting.
Good. Thanks. Appreciate it. There's so much stuff out there that we're just getting the tip of the iceberg. Lots of time before Dr. Morgus wraps things up, so let's go to our wild card line and see what's on your mind. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, George. I'd like to tell you a story about me and a group of my friends.
Okay.
We have this organization called Pi, like, you know, like you eat pie.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it's PIE, and it stands for Paranormal Investigation Expedition.
And where are you guys located?
Well, we're in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Okay.
And, well, we heard rumors about this house where this old couple died together. And we've heard that it was haunted, and the house is abandoned now. So we took a video camera down there. And we were standing there in pitch black. And it was kind of odd. But we got a weird, distinct feeling that something was there. So we're standing there, and the oldest of us, Brian, is 23. He's standing there, and he says, Mr. Honeycutt, the old man who lived there, said, Mr. Honeycutt, are you there? And we can hear everything. He said, Mrs. Honeycutt, are you there? And he said, okay, well, I guess there's nothing here. And we stood there for about 15 more minutes. And then we went back to his house to watch the tape, and as we were watching it, and when he said, Mrs. Honeycutt, are you there? We heard a whisper that said, you'd like her. And none of us had said anything, so we think we have a case of EVP.
You might have one. You got to let us. You got to send it to us. I'd love to play it on the show.
We're going to try to get it into you, actually.
Okay, do that, and I'll definitely play it on the program. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Your turn. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Are you being a mime?
Is this me?
I hope so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I was on the air.
Yeah.
Hi. I wanted to talk about the twin flame thing we got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Goldberg talked about it. Before I even heard the show, my friend's been recording it and giving me tapes, but before I even heard the show, I was thinking about this girl I once knew who, like, I really started to think was my twin flame, but at the time I wasn't ready for it, and, like, I was having a dream, and just, like this voice in my dream just told me, it said the name of the girl and said, you're beautiful. So I wrote the girl an email after a while, and I was like, I told her, I said that thing, and just to make it seem cool, like, I wrote her a little poem about it. But anyway, like, I started just saying, like, going to bed at night, saying, like, the girl's name and you're beautiful over and over. And I started having these weird dreams as if, like, almost like, like a girl's voice would come, like, it's like I've merged with someone else, and like I'd have dreams that were like my dreams mixed with someone else, that like something would tell me, like, all these, you know, spirit guides, like I'd just be aware of spirit guides of mine and then this girl's. And I started
did this girl have the same kind of thing going on when you were thinking about her?
Truthfully, I don't know. I haven't talked to her since high school. I'm 19 now. It's been like a year and a half. And, like, I started, like, having these dreams. I knew her. I know her favorite color. Like, we stopped talking, basically, like, because I wasn't ready for a relationship at that time. I was kind of like...
Well, you were a kid.
Yeah, inexperienced. Yeah, I was a kid. And, you know, she started going out with someone else. And, like, you know, but it doesn't matter. But, like, now, like, I knew her favorite color was this beautiful green. And then in my dreams were all full of this color. There'd be this bright window and... like a king dancing with a young girl in this beautiful dress. And as I was looking at this beautiful scene, like, that didn't seem like something I would dream. It seems too beautiful. Like, this girl's voice in my mind went, wow, it's beautiful. And it startled me. Like, sounds, I heard a girl's voice in my dream.
Sounds like you were tapping into her dreams somehow.
Yeah, and what exactly. And what's weird is that, like, I feel like I've been being shown, like, what things she's into and stuff. I started liking different things. I woke up and wrote poems about ecstasy and weird. I felt like love in my life. Like, it's weird. Everyone thinks I'm so in this verge, like, so happy and stuff. And I don't, like, I haven't seen her. It's like...
Does she email you back?
No.
She doesn't? So she just gets your emails and that's it?
I don't even know if she has that same email address or even if she got it.
Oh, so she may not even have it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, I don't know how to contact. Or she probably got it and thinks it's really sweet or something.
I wonder if you concentrate on other people if the same thing would happen.
You know, I tried, like, after I heard Bruce Goldberg's show, I tried kind of meditating and getting into that, like, trying to time travel, really. And I started, talking about, like, the astral plane or something. You
sure.
Get, like, a picture in your mind of a person. And I'd be like, okay, this person seems cool, looks like a really cool person. So I was like, I accept this person into my life, in my mind. And then all of a sudden I started getting, like, weird vibrations, like this person was really, like it was some weird being, like, in the astral, that only had, like, had it out to, like, harm, like, really I started feeling not good.
Well, I'll tell you, one day, and I've got to run, you're breaking up a little bit on us, I've got to tell you about how I got the network to become aware of me when I knew that Art was starting to look for some people to back him up years ago. And it's an incredible story. Maybe we'll talk about it next Friday. I don't have time for it tonight, and so many of you are still on hold, and we still have Dr. Morgus. But it's this absolutely incredible story, which echoes some of the things that the caller just said. And I swear by that. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You are on. Nope. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I really like your show, and it's an excellent forum for people that come up with off the wall ideas and stuff. But anyway, one that came
makes you think, doesn't it?
It's incredible. You know, just to think of the potential that you have, you know, at your fingertips. But anyway, I come up with an idea that involves a Live Aid movie that I thought, you know, it would be kind of a formula for world peace if we somehow came up with a movie that sort of followed the incarnations of King David and how he has evolved through the centuries. And that, you know, if you can kind of picture a movie that people would be going to, knowing that their money's going to a good cause, whatever the cause is, that's not as important as just the charity, the consciousness raising that's involved with a charity.
So true. I wonder if we had this entire planet concentrating on good for a change, what would happen?
I think it, you know, we can make things happen. We can turn it around if you know get people in tune to the idea of reincarnation, where we could look at other people from a different perspective. You know, we could see each other as brothers and sisters throughout eternity, sort of a thing, you know, and we'd be looking at each other entirely differently. So if you followed the incarnations of somebody like King David, I think he's a sort of an oversoul or an archetype, you know, that people would kind of identify with, especially when, you know, we got the establishment and, you know, some of the corruption that's involved, you know, and you could have somebody, you know, have that archetype try to set things straight, you know. To
do you really think those people would even concentrate on something like that?
I don't know. I think maybe it would affect them on a subliminal level.
Maybe we can encircle them by being positive, all of us.
You know,
that might be the way to do it. Let's take a final couple more calls, and then we are bringing in Dr. Morgus. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes.
How are you doing, George?
Good, sir.
It is an honor to speak with you this morning, sir. I'm calling from Dayton, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and make this real quick. I know you don't have much time. Just wanting to share, last summer, new to the area, originally from Southeast Kentucky, and so is my girlfriend, met at our last job. We're driving home. We're informed of a shortcut because both of us really don't know this place.
Yeah.
It's so confusing, country people. And we're driving home, take a back road, end up getting lost, you know, always happens. And, you know, we got out, beautiful, clear night, and I'm from the mountains. You know, I'm not used to all this sky. Get out, love to look at the stars. Me and her both just kind of get out, laying on the hood, looking at the cars, or at the stars, I'm sorry. And there's a breeze blowing, a lot of farmland around, a lot of stuff swaying in the breeze. And it's kind of like the wind just stops, and things are still swaying, which is the last thing I remember. This was at about 1:30 a.m. 4:30 a.m., we're in our car. Both of us have this story. We're both in the car. I'm in the driver's side with tapping on the window. It was like your caller before said, in a blink of an eye, that's what this was like. And look out, there's a military policeman, and there's a man in a suit. And you know, George, this is Dayton, Ohio, Wright-Patt Air Force.
You got that right.
And get out. Never was much for aliens, UFOs, never really studied much on it. But we were just told to get out, shut our mouths, don't move, stand in one spot, do not move. And we had this military cop with his hand on his gun the whole time, search us, search our car. I guess they didn't find anything incriminating and told us we needed to leave. I was curious, you know, what's going on? You know, I didn't know much about this place. And I was told, you know, get out. They didn't want to have to shoot me. This was the military.
They didn't want to shoot you?
They didn't want to shoot me.
It would have been that bad?
It would have been that bad. I come home, and I'm freaked out by this. I, you know, get on the internet. Actually, your show has really inspired me to check out it. I work third shift. You get me through the night, man. And, you know, we're checking up on the internet. I was not familiar. I knew Roswell was an incident where a craft was supposed to have crashed.
Well, you didn't know about Wright-Patterson then,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't know that the remains were, you know, transported.
Well, that's what we think. Hey, we're out of time. So much so, we'll talk to Dr. Morgus next week. He'll be okay with this. Sorry, Doc. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Rob Ismail, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lavasseur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, have a great weekend. Be safe, everyone. I'll see you Monday.